You're listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Grace Life Church in Lake Asbury, Florida. You can find more information about Grace Life by going to thegracelifechurch.org or join us for worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Lake Asbury Elementary School.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to all the kids, all right? So for last quarter, they have been collecting stickers on the sticker board that I'm sure you've seen over the last couple, last month or two. And for every sticker, if they just show up to church or if they serve, so even the little kids that'll carry just one little thing, we've been putting a sticker on that board for them because we want to encourage them about serving in church and the little things they do at the table. So every sticker that they put on that board represented a dollar that the church would donate to kids over in Ethiopia. So for the last couple of weeks, last 2 months really, the kids have raised $126 for kids over in Ethiopia. So great job, kids. Let's give them a hand this morning. So thank you. We're gonna keep just working towards teaching the kids to serve others around the world here locally, and a great opportunity just to instill in them the importance of gathering with the church and supporting missions. So thank you, kids. Great job. I'm glad. I can't wait to send that over to the Lynn family in Ethiopia just to help them out and serve kids over there. Turn with me in the book, in your Bibles, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's after John, all right? So we've been in John for so long, you might not know where the rest of the Bible is. So go to John and then turn a couple of books later on and you'll find 1 Corinthians. There are so many moments throughout history, right? And if you're not a history buff, I love reading about history. There's a lot of moments throughout history that are pivotal to history. You don't know it in the moment, but you can look back and you can see how everything changed because of this moment. So if you don't even know a lot about history, but maybe you like watching TV shows or you're reading books, there are parts of a story that something happens and it pivots, right? It pivots the whole storyline. You can look throughout different TV shows or books, all right, where a character, something happens to a character and it changes the story, all right? Or looking at history about how even something that Colton and has been learning the last couple years just about World War II and all that impact there and how that changed the course of history. I mean, that's just one little glimpse of history, all right? And history is a lot that has happened over the years. But the most pivotal moment in all of history was when Jesus rose again. The resurrection of Jesus is the most essential and pivotal event in human history. If you take every other moment and you try to compare it, it's nothing compared to when Jesus rose again. It's the moment when a crucified failure is what everybody thought. This man who's just a teacher who was blaspheming God, they crucified him and said it's over with. It's the moment, the resurrection was the moment that crucified failure was revealed to be a triumphant king. The resurrection testifies that God has once and for all triumphed over death. And nothing will ever again be the same. We see it now, 2,000 and so years later, looking back about how the resurrection changed the course of history. But if we look at our own lives, we can see how the death and resurrection changed the story of our lives as well. And that's what I want to look at today. We started this short little series in the book of John, but today we're not in the book of John, all right? So we're putting it all together. A couple weeks ago, the week before Easter, Palm Sunday, where we looked at death before life. We looked about our sin and Jesus's work in our lives to deal with our sin. And then last week on Easter Sunday, we looked at how death died. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, what it accomplished for us. Now we're going to look about, hey, this is who we are now. This is what our life looks like because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For those of us that are believers in Jesus and we've had our sins forgiven by him, our lives have pivoted. No longer are we living like we did before Jesus. we have a new trajectory in our lives. And that's what I want to look at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a very long chapter. We're not going to read it all. We're going to maybe one day take the time to study it all out, but we're going to do a big surfery glance at this chapter and look at how the resurrection not only changes us and it saves us, but how it changes our day-to-day lives and our lives for all of eternity. So turn with me to John, it's just built into the rhythm of Sunday mornings. And let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 2. We're going to see today that Jesus not only saved us from death, he saved us to life. We'll read the first two verses of the chapter and then we'll respond with thanksgiving for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This is the word of the Lord. The book of 1 Corinthians is a letter written by Paul to the church of Corinth. Kids, can you say Corinth? So he writes this letter to them, and the church is having some issues. There is rampant promiscuity going on in this church. I mean, some serious things that they got to deal with. There's major idolatry. There's division and just downright selfishness that Paul says, no, this is not what a church is supposed to look like. Clearly, just by the way you're acting in your own lives and towards one another, you have forgotten what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. So we get to chapter 15, and Paul says, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters. He is talking to fellow Christians. And I know that in this room today, that not everybody is going to be a Christian. But for the most part, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul writes to this church, I want to remind you of the gospel which you believed in. He's looking back to that belief. All right? He's like, you believe that in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins. You believed in that, and you're standing on it. This is what you put your faith on. This is what you teach. This is what you talk about. And it's the same gospel that's saving you, not a continual, like, you're being saved from your sins, but a sanctifying. It's the gospel that's making you holy. Unless you've believed in vain, meaning, unless maybe you're just all talk and you're not really a Christian, is what Paul is saying. He's reminding them of the gospel. Because clearly, by the way they're acting, maybe they don't fully grasp what's taking place. Maybe they don't fully grasp the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in their own lives. And Paul is going to address this, and I want to look at that reminder today. Here's one of my concerns. Can I share one of my concerns with you this morning? Are you guys with me? It's a little rainy out there, thanks to Tim for mentioning the good weather last week. All right? It's a little rainy, and I know where it's been a long week, but I want to share with you one of my concerns as a pastor and as someone that just watches over church history and how church trends take place. It bothers me, and I want you to hear me say this clearly. It bothers me that the feel, I don't know what other word to use there, the feel of Easter Sunday only occurs once a year. Do you guys see what I'm saying? I'm so thankful that Easter, that we celebrate Easter, that's on our calendar still, all right, which is a miracle, all right, that even on the national, that we're taking days off around this country to celebrate something that most people don't even believe in. And in the church, we celebrate. It's a big deal. I love Easter Sunday. I love coming to church on Easter Sunday and not watching it online from my couch, all right? I love Easter Sunday. But we have made it the Super Bowl of Christianity, meaning that what we are celebrating on Easter Sunday should be what we are celebrating every day of the week. That every Sunday should be this big celebration of the resurrected King. Now, we're not going to do Easter egg hunts every Sunday. We're not going to dress our Sunday best on every Sunday, all right? Trust me, I'm not wearing a suit every Sunday. Didn't even wear it on Easter Sunday. But what if we took every Sunday and approached it like we did every Easter? What if we spent the whole week, every week, inviting our friends to church on Sunday? Because church is that big of a deal. Not just Easter Sunday, but Sunday. What if we celebrated the death and resurrection with passion and joy every day of the week like we do on Easter Sunday? It bothers me when I look at church across our country, churches across our country, and even in our own church, that the week after Easter is often a down Sunday compared statistically throughout the year. I wonder if it's because we've truly forgotten the power of the resurrection. I know not everybody here today is not here because some are out of town, some are not feeling well, and I don't want you to look around the room and say, well, they're not here today. But some of you are even here today just because this is maybe the routine. And maybe you've lost sight of the power of the resurrection in your own life. Paul says in the book of Philippians that I may know him and the power of his resurrection in my own life, not just once a year, but every day of the week. And that's why Paul reminds this church and reminds us today that we must remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope by now that you see that I'm talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. The same message that I preach on Easter Sunday, while the wording is different, the outline is different, even the text is different, the whole purpose of it, the reason I preach is because Jesus rose from the grave. We must remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In my car, every car has their different issues, right? Your car is unique to yours. In my blue little car, during the winter months, my glove box will not stay shut. The mechanisms in it, something happens, and it just falls. If I hit a nice bump, it'll fall. If it just gets cold, it'll just fall. It just like gives up, and it can't latch anymore. I don't know what it's happening. So I'm driving, and it drives me nuts that it won't close. I don't know why. It's just like an eyesore, and I'm over here going, bam, and it falls. It's like taunting me over here. In my car, I've yelled at it. I'm like, I've taken my anger out on this glove box, and I've shoved it. I get in the car knowing that I'm going to use this illustration, knowing I haven't had this issue in a couple weeks. I get in my car this morning, and you know what's yelling at me? That stupid glove box that is, sorry kids for using that word, that's just open, and I'm just slamming it shut. Like, how do you forget to do the one thing you're supposed to do in the latch? Like, that's all you have to do. There's not like there's a brick in there that's too heavy. It's just a few papers. There's not even gloves in there, right? And it just won't shut. It's like, and every time I'm like, this is what you're supposed to do, right? It's not important to my car, all right? But it just bothers me. I have to remind it to do what it's supposed to do. When I come to preach on Sunday mornings, I know that you've had a busy week. We've all had busy weeks. And part of my responsibility on Sunday morning is to sometimes lovingly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, kind of slap you a little bit to remind you of the gospel, to remind you what you've called to be. Because we forget. Life happens and we forget about the gospel. We go days and hours without even thinking about the power of the resurrection in us. So I want to step in here and just say, hey, let me remember what you're supposed to do, okay? You're supposed to abide in the love of Jesus, all right? I want to lovingly just kind of slam that back into your head. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, he even says this, all right? He says this quote, "Here I must take counsel of the gospel. I must hearken to the gospel which teaches me, not what I ought to do, for that's the proper office of the law, but what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done for me. That he suffered and died to deliver me from sin and death. The gospel wills me to receive this and to believe it. And this is the truth of the gospel. It is also the principal article of all Christian doctrine, wherein the knowledge of all godliness consists. most necessary it is. He's saying the gospel is this. It is the foundation of everything we talk about, everything we do, everything we believe in. Most necessary, then, is it therefore that we should know this gospel well, teach it to others, and beat it into their heads continually. There's not often a reminder for me as I'm having conversations with you and I'm preparing to preach for you that I just want to beat the gospel into your head through the power of the Holy Spirit. For you to ground your life on everything that Jesus has done for you. Not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of the week. When you're going through health trials, when you're going through financial issues, when you're dealing things within your marriage and with your kids and at work, whatever the case is, I want to point you back to the hope of the gospel. And that's the foundation that we stand on to remind you, hey, this is what Jesus has done for you. This is what he's called you to be. Don't forget it. Don't forget this gospel message. But here's where we can't make any assumptions. Before I remind you of what the gospel is, we have to make sure we understand what the gospel is. I just can't assume that though I say it to you every week and that you hear it weekly, I want to make sure you understand it. I want to define it for you. And right here in the scripture, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, of this gospel message that you've believed, that you stand on, that you're continuing changing you unless you believed in vain. So he says, just to make sure you know what I'm talking about, just so you here know, and those of you watching online know what the gospel is, Paul tells us from scriptures. This is not my definition. This is the scripture's definition. Here it is in verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Of what importance, kids? First importance. This is essential. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And then he appears to Cephas or Peter, then to the 12. And then we see a couple of verses where Peter or Jesus is showing himself to other people, which we're going to talk about at the end of the book of John here in a couple of weeks. And then we get to verse 9 where Paul is saying, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Right here in the scriptures, we see the gospel message. Here it is on your TV screen. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And by his grace, through faith in him, we are saved. We are saved. To take away anything to that is to take away the complete and sufficient work of Jesus Christ. Paul even says it's not by anything that I've done, right? Like it's not my, I've tried hard to save myself and I can't do it. Some of us have that as our story, that we try to be good people, to try to follow the law. But as we looked at last week, as Jesus on the cross, he fulfills the law perfectly because we could not. This is the gospel message that we have to remind ourselves each and every day. That Jesus died for us, that he rose again for us, that he has saved us, and our identity is as children of God the Father. That is who we are. Here's another way of saying all of that. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. You see what Paul says in verse 10? He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Think about your life before Jesus Christ. Think about where you were. before Jesus saved you from your sins. Think about your life. On your way to damnation in hell, but Jesus stepped in and saved you. That is grace. We did not deserve that. We were dead in our sins. We deserved death. But Jesus died for us. He saved us. He welcomed us into the family of God. As I think about my life before Jesus, I think about all the times that I justified my faith in Jesus by what I'd done. I mean, I was young when I became a Christian, and I don't think I fully understand what that meant until in my early 20s, even in my mid-20s. And still, I'm working to understand what it means to be a child of God. Being 12 years old, thinking, I'm good with God because my parents are good with God. I'm good with God because I'm really not that bad of a person. But in a moment when the Holy Spirit revealed to me my sinful state and my need for Jesus, my life changed. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. And every morning when we wake up, Lord willing, we'll wake up tomorrow morning. Every morning when we wake up, the Bible says that there are new mercies every morning for us. We get to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is finished, is what Jesus said. It is finished. Nothing else needs to be added to it. Nothing else needs to be done. It is finished. So when we wake up tomorrow morning, we're not happy. Like, I hope Jesus gets it done today. There's no question about it. It is certain that it is finished. When we wake up tomorrow morning, no matter the sins of our lives today, no matter our doubts, no matter whatever we go through today, tomorrow morning there is new mercies. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, your heavenly Father will still love you, there to forgive you when you have sinned against him, there to point you through his word to how to live in holiness. Every morning there is new mercies. There's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, Romans 8 says. There's new mercies. And just so you understand that there's new mercies, the Bible even says in the book of Lamentations, in verse chapter 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That faithful love, that unconditional love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. When do his mercies end? When? Never. They never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Here's where the gospel is right here in this verse. In the middle of the Old Testament, it says, everything I need is in Jesus Christ. And every morning, everything I need is there. Therefore, because of his faithfulness, because of his goodness, because of his grace, I will hope in him. Today, as I go about my day and I'm dealing with grief and anxiety and pain and everything that life throws at us, I will hope in God. I will hope in him. Because remember, Jesus not only saved us from death, he saved us to life in his name. Too often we think of the gospel as kind of that entry door to Christianity and we just forget about it after that. But my life is nothing without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what we stand on. That is our foundation. Pastor Tim Keller says the gospel is not just the ABCs of salvation, where we hear that admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus Christ, confess your sins. That's a great way of sharing the gospel. But it's not just the ABCs. It's the A to Z of Christianity. All of life is centered on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on his resurrection. That's why I say, why aren't we celebrating it with full joy every day of the week? If all of life hinges on the resurrection, should we not focus more of our lives on his resurrection? Because the resurrection just didn't impact our salvation. It impacts today, it impacts tomorrow, and it impacts us, our entire eternity. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the middle section, 12 to verse 58. I'm not going to read the whole thing, okay? I know that thrills you parents, okay? But let me read just a couple of verses here, and then we'll jump back to this middle section. This middle section contains so much, it would probably take forever to work through it. It's just, well, it will, because it's really talking about the future of those who believe in Christ. Verse 12, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how could some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? Here's the issue in this church, one of the issues. They believe that Jesus rose from the dead, okay? But they're saying, well, there's no resurrection of the dead. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then even not even Christ has been raised. So here's what Paul's saying. There is, in the life of the believer, here's how paramount the resurrection is to everything. That because Jesus rose bodily from the grave, we too, after those of us that die before Jesus returns, those of us that are in the grave, will rise bodily from the grave. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Our future hinges on what Christ has done in the past through his resurrection. And if Christ has not been raised, verse 14, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. This is some very serious language that Paul's saying. If there is no resurrection, then we are pitied. What's the point of anything we're doing? What's the point of all of it? And you might be saying, okay, Pastor Matt, we get the importance of the resurrection. We're here because we believe in the resurrection. Okay, good. That's great. But do we grasp how the resurrection changes every day for the rest of eternity? How it impacts this pivotal moment of history when Jesus rose from the dead, how it impacted the rest of eternity. If in Christ we have hope only in this life, then we are a people most pitied. You see, we can rejoice as Christians because of the gospel. We can rejoice in our future resurrection. There's a less talked about aspect of the gospel. We look at that all the shuns, the T-I-O-Ns throughout the Bible that's related to salvation. Predestination, adoption, redemption, restoration, all of it. Propitiation. You could just keep adding. Justification. The more I talk about it, the more I think of other T-I-O-Ns. But there's another one here. Salvation. There's another one, okay? That's less talked about, mainly because it's future part of our salvation. Remember, all throughout the teaching of John, Jesus continually talks about the eternal life that we have in him. There's a less talked about aspect of the gospel called glorification. Kids, can you say glorification? Great try there, okay? Glorification. There we go. This is referring to the resurrection of the believer. This is after this earth. This is future hope here that we're talking about. And 1 Corinthians 15 is really the key passage of this doctrine. Here's a long definition that's going to be up on the TV screen. For sake of time, I'm only going to read it once, so have your phones ready if you want to take a picture of it. Glorification is the final step in the application of redemption. It will happen when Christ returns and raises from the dead the bodies of believers for all time who have died, and reunites them with their souls, and changes the bodies of all believers who remain alive, thereby giving all believers at the same time perfect resurrection bodies like his own. 1 Corinthians 15 is not the only time it talks about it. Look at Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, the grave, for he will receive me. Look at this verse in Philippians. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. Are we still awaiting a Savior to come back the second time? He came back once. He's coming back again, right? We're awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body. Okay, let's stop there for a second. How many of you have just a lowly body? Can we? Yeah, all right. I don't think any of us have the perfect bodies, okay? Our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We don't talk about often how the resurrection of Jesus Christ also guarantees, it secures our bodily resurrection. This is where it gets wild to me, mainly because this is something future happening. To think that one day, those who are dead in Christ will rise from the grave just like Jesus did. I can't grasp my mind about what that's going to be like. I can't. And it's all possible. The resurrection of the dead in Christ is only possible because Jesus rose from the grave. Death is not the end of the believer. It's not. One day Christ will return, and soon he will return, and we will raise the dead. What profound hope. Death does not have the final say in the life of the believer. Christian, here's the hope that you have. This life that you have right now is the closest that you will ever get to hell. Because the moment you die, we are entered the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's not even the end of the story. When Jesus comes back, we're getting a new body. It's the beautiful part of the gospel that Jesus takes what is broken and sinful and restores it to God's intended design. The resurrection of Jesus Christ secured our future resurrection. And I don't know if I'll be here when Jesus comes again. We don't even know when Jesus is coming back. Maybe I will be. I kind of hope I do. But either way, it's a great vantage point for a Christian to see Jesus come back, to believe and know that he's coming back very soon. And then to think of what it means that those dead in Christ will rise again. I think of my little sister Carrie, that one day I'll get to see her again. I think of my Nana. Julie and I were just talking about my Nana a couple days ago. Like, I think Nana would be my hype man here at church. Like, she was one of my biggest supporters all throughout when I told her I was going to Bible school and all of it. I think about my Nana. I think about the four miscarried babies. I never got to hold in my arms. I think about friends here that I'll get to see again. I think about your loved ones. Because death is not the end for the believer. It does not get the final say-so. Jesus conquered death. He conquered it. And this is the power of the resurrection. Because Jesus conquered death, we can live our lives today knowing that the worst thing that could ever happen to us was conquered by Jesus. In faith, we believe that death is defeated, which is why Paul closes out this incredible chapter. In verse 50, he says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is referring to our sinful natural state, not our physical bodies. Nor does this perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body, which we all have right now, must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then, look at future hope, then shall it come to pass, saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is it, Paul says? Come on, death, prove it. Where did you win? You didn't. Oh, death, where is your sting? It's not meaning that death doesn't hurt, because death does hurt. It's painful, especially when we lose a loved one. But it's not final for the believer. It is not final. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But verse 57, but thanks be to our God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, our life does not end when we take our final breath here on this earth. That's really just the beginning. For all of eternity, one day, we will worship our Savior together with a new body. What a day that will be. But what will that resurrected body look like? I think this is where all the intrigue is, right? What language are we going to speak in heaven? Am I going to be in my 30s in heaven? Or am I stuck here in my 80s in heaven, right? Is anybody else intrigued by that? Is it just me? I want to know, am I going to have a beard? Am I going to have good eyesight? Yes, okay, I know that for sure, right? No contact lenses. Here's what we know about the scripture. Our resurrected bodies will look like the resurrected body of Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us. We will be like him. Now, it doesn't mean we're all going to look like Jesus. But we're going to have the same characteristics of Jesus. Here's a few characteristics based on that scriptures that we just read. For one, it will be how God intends. It'll be the body that God intends. It will be a physical body, because Jesus rose physically out of the grave. It wasn't just some hallucination or some mirage. It was a physical body. You could touch it. Jesus even says, here, Thomas, touch my hands, all right? You could touch it, all right? It's a physical body, and it's recognizable. Jesus, we'll look at here in a couple weeks, shows up, and after a little while, once people realize, like Mary and the disciples are like, you're Jesus. They could recognize him. So I think when we get to heaven, I'll be able to recognize you, all right? It might take for a second, that's what God intended you to look like here. All right, this is your glorified body. You will all say, oh, Matt, that's great. There's less ice cream up here in heaven, clearly, okay? It will be how God intends. It will be sinless. Though our bodies are not sinful, Adam and Eve had a physical body before sin entered into the world, but no longer will our lives, our bodies, take on the effects of sin. There will be no more disease. There will be no more death. There will be no more contact lenses. All the results of the fall will be healed. There will be no more temptation. There will be no more sin. No longer will I wake up angry. No longer will we live in that sin that we deal with every day. Our bodies will be like the resurrected body of Jesus, sinless. And it will be eternal. Verse 54 says, you can look at verse 50, verse 53, verse 54. It'll be eternal. No coronavirus in heaven. No cancer. No pain. No growing old. It will be eternal. I can't even fathom what that's going to be like. But I know it's going to be good. But not because my body will be good. Not because of all that, but because I will be with Jesus Christ, my Savior. That's the hope of heaven. Honestly, I'll take the body right now that I have if I get to spend eternity with Jesus. But Jesus says, we're going to make it like it was intended to be before sin. In these resurrected bodies, we will see humanity as God fully intended it to be when he created man and woman. So how does that future resurrection hope change our lives today? How does it change us now? Well, for one, I think verse 58 tells us. It says, therefore, I hope by now, as you studied your Bible along in life groups or with me, that when you see that word, therefore, can everybody say therefore?
Therefore.
A little louder.
Therefore.
What should that clue us in to do? Go back and look. Exactly. Good job, right? Go back and look. Therefore, if you see that word while you're studying the Bible or reading your Bible on Sunday in the mornings, go back and look and see what happens. Because all of chapter 15, because of everything that Paul just said, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the future hope of the resurrection of the saints, because of all of that, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Here's what the future resurrection of our bodies means for us today. It means that we resolve to live for the glory of God now. We resolve to live for the glory of God now. One of the issues in this church is they didn't believe in the resurrection of the Christian. So they were living life however they wanted to. Paul even says, you drink and be merry, do what you want. What's the purpose if there's no resurrection? But no, because there's a future resurrection, that should motivate you to live for the glory of God now. Paul says, because of this hope, you can live steadfast, meaning that you can stand firm on the gospel message no matter what comes at you. Stand firm on the gospel. It means be immovable. Don't let anything move you. Sickness, disease, whatever the case is, don't let it move you away from the gospel. And always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's continuing to share the gospel message. Earlier in this chapter, Paul says, what's the point of evangelism if there's no resurrection of the dead? What's the point of it all? But that future hope is what motivates us today to live for the glory of God. Because nothing done for the glory of the Lord in this life will be wasted. Live every moment for His glory. I'm trying to teach my kids. We play, they're in baseball. So I'm trying to teach them to glorify God even when they're out on the baseball field. That doesn't mean winning, all right? I want to win, all right? And yesterday, I love it, okay? But more importantly, I want them to glorify God. I don't want them to cheat or to lie to get ahead. I want them to play hard and work hard and do their best for the glory of God, knowing that baseball is an incredibly fun game and it's the greatest sport on earth, but it's nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Apply that same hope, that same resolve to your work, to your home, to your hobbies, to do all of it for the glory of God. And part of it is understanding what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him, that I may know Jesus and the power of His resurrection in me, knowing that one day I will achieve the resurrection that's reserved for me. I did a search on Reddit the other day because I was curious what people would do if they had a time machine. Have you ever had this thought? Where would you go in history if you had a time machine? Right? Everybody's answer is different. But I was surprised by how many people would go to the future and figure out when they would die. Because that way they knew. Like, okay, I got this many years. I'm just going to enjoy life because that's the end there. I was left a little heartbroken. Because what hopelessness is that to know this is it? There's nothing next. Might as well live it up now. But brothers and sisters, this is nothing compared to what's next. What's next is that we will bodily be in the presence of the body of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us and for all of eternity. Together, we, along with those who have gone before us, who believed in the Son of God, will stand around His throne saying, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain." The same Jesus that rose from the dead is coming back. And He's got big plans to give us a new body that we will dwell in for all of eternity with Him. Let's not forget the gospel and how it changes us every day, and the future change that's coming for us. Let's take a few moments and respond to God's word this morning, and trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ.